Man, thank you, ladies. We certainly appreciate that. If you have your Bible open, I've enjoyed all of the special singing today. It's been a real blessing, as usual, and I mean that. I do. I mean that. It's just the good hymns that we sing and the special music is always a blessing to me, and I just believe it's a blessing to you. I certainly trust it is. Well, today, with the help of the Lord, we're going to round out these Ten Commandments. We've went down and discussed them as a body of commandments, and then we've taken each one and discussed them. And I just want to make a few comments that I wrote down. You may or may not understand or get the gist of what I'm getting ready to say. I always pray, God, help me to stay out of the way. You know, God gives me thoughts and truths that I believe in my heart he wants me to share with you, and I don't want to get in God's way. Amen. You know, a man can do that, you know, whether he's preaching or ministering. We as human beings, we have a way sometimes of just getting in God's way. And I don't want to get in God's way. I want God to take the pure word of God and minister it to your hearts. Because, brethren, the truth of God's word is what changes lives. It's not my delivery. It's not my charisma. As far as I know, I don't even have any. You know, it's not any of those things. It's the pure word of God that changes lives. God's word changes lives. Not God's word spoken this way or God's word preached this way. God's word alone changes lives. And so I mean that from the depths of my heart. I just want to get out of God's way. There's a lot to say about covetousness, and that is this 10th commandment. Before we get into it, I want to remind you of just a few things that we talked about when we were talking about these 10 commandments, okay? If you'll look in chapter number 5, look over, if you would, in chapter 5, look in verse number 29. These 10 commandments have to get in your heart. Now listen, I've talked to you about hanging them on your wall. And in chapter 6, we saw where God said, do that. Put them on your doorpost, right? Put them in the hallways. Hang them in your home. I understand that the government institutions say, well, we don't want those Ten Commandments hanging in our halls. Well, that's okay. They can't control what you do in your home yet. Hang them in your home. Teach them to your children. Teach them to your sons, Deuteronomy 6 says, and to your sons' sons. But God said, in order to do that now, they've got to be in your heart. They have to be in your heart. Now, Jesus elaborates on these commandments in the New Testament, in particular, in the Sermon on the Mount. But notice, if you would, in Deuteronomy 5, verse 29, he said, oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. Now, here's why. See, here's why God wants you to keep his commandments. It's not to try to control you. Listen, God made us free moral agents. God made us people of choice. And I'm thankful. I was talking to someone this past week, and I said, you know, it's amazing how we want to make our own choices until certain things happen or we get in a certain way. Then we wonder why God didn't make the choice for us. And that's just kind of the way we are sometimes. We're just kind of bent that way. And here, the scripture says that, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me or reverence me, is what he said. That they would reverence me and keep all my commandments always. Why? That it might be well with them and with their children, you see, forever, he said. And so I pray that you would really understand why God gave us this moral law. It's just good to keep the commandments of God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen, church? Amen. Second thing, teach them to your children. Teach them to your children. Sit down with your children regularly and teach them the Bible. Certainly teach them the Ten Commandments. Teach them. Teach them the truths, the doctrine of the Scripture. Teach your children the Word of God. Spoon feed them the word until they can get to a place of where they begin to feed themselves, and then hold them accountable to read the Bible and to study the Bible on their own. Thirdly, belief determines behavior. It's been proven over and over again. These Ten Commandments, brethren, are for everyone. And I believe they're particularly for God's people. But there's not a thing wrong with every person adhering to these Ten Commandments. Now, before I get into the message this morning, I want to reiterate the very, very important thought of you will never, no one has ever gone to heaven. And if you don't listen to anything else I say this morning, I want you to hear me right now. You can keep all these commandments. You think, okay? First of all, you can't. But even when you think you have or you do, you will not get to heaven by keeping God's law. The only way to get to heaven is by being saved by God's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I want to say that again. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. Jesus told that woman, oh, he said, if you knew the gift, amen, the gift that I give us unto thee, you would ask of the water that I give to drink. Amen. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness, Titus 3:5, which we have done, but according to his mercy, God saved us, you see, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, when I began on these commandments, I knew a little about the Ten Commandments, but I got to tell you, it's been an eye-opening experience for me to begin to look into the Scripture and see how God over and over and over again speaks about these moral laws. I was shocked when I began to look into the Scripture and find all the times that God speaks about lying and bearing false witness. Brethren, God takes these things serious. I know we live in a society that mocks and scoffs and scorns these things, but God takes them serious. God takes His commandments serious. And I want to take serious what God takes serious, don't you? I believe you do. When I began to look into the Scripture about the many things and the many times that God spoke about covetousness, I was stunned. I mean, it was more than I could record. It just kept opening up and opening up and opening up. What is covetousness? What is it to covet? You know, I believe you could ask 10 people and maybe 5 could give you an answer, and those 5 would have a different answer. And so what I've done is I just wrote down some Scripture, and I want to read them to you. But before I do, I want to give you a biblical definition of covet, coveted, or covetousness. Some people think that covet is just to desire things. Well, there's nothing wrong with desiring things. As a matter of fact, when God saved me, He put a passion in my heart to desire the truth. Did you know the Bible says there's just some things we ought to covet? 1 Corinthians 12. The Bible says in verse 31 that we ought to covet the best gifts. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 39, it says covet prophecy. There's just some things that as believers we ought to covet. We ought to covet peace with God. We ought to covet. We ought to desire. We ought to have a strong desire for the peace of God, for the victory in Jesus. There's nothing wrong with desiring things. Some people believe when you get saved that God just kind of, you know, makes you without passion or desire. That's taught by cults. That's not taught by the Bible. The Bible gives us desire. God wants us to have a godly ambition. Amen. God wants you to be ambitious. There's just some things that God wants you to go after, that God wants me to go after. And so please don't think, well, I'm saved now, so I just kind of lay back and kind of just roll the dice and see what happens. That's not God's way, brother. Please hear me this morning. That's not God's way. There's just some things that God wants us to seek. Seek after them. Amen. Pursue. To go on a quest. I mean to be diligent, the Bible says. To diligent and determined to have some things that God has for us. See, you don't get saved and then sit around and wait for God to pour it on you. Some things you just got to go mine the field. Amen. You got to go dig the treasure. You got to get out there and say, God, I want this. More than I want anything, I want this, Lord. I want to know you. I want to know your will. I want to know your purpose. I want to have that drive in me to where the world won't, distract me from what God has for me. And that's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to turn us, and the devil wants us to turn inwardly and turn worldly. And John said in 1 John, he said, love not the world. Listen, that's not where you'll find what God has for you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You see, he said, you get the love of God in you. You get the love of the Father in you. You desire what God has for you, and that's where you'll find peace and solace and tranquility and purpose and peace and victory, you see. Notice, if you would, in our scripture, verse 21, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. Now look at the next phrase. Neither shalt thou covet. Covet is to want something that is not lawfully yours or that you shouldn't lawfully have. It's to have an insatiable, a lustful drive. When Jesus spoke in John 8 and verse 44, when he said, you're of your father the devil, and he said, and the lust of him shall you do. Now, what did the devil do? He desired God's position. He coveted God's position. Please hear me this morning. He wanted God's worship. He wanted God's position. He wanted God's power. See, God had given him many things, but he wasn't satisfied with what God gave him. He wanted something that wasn't supposed to be his. There's nothing wrong with a man wanting a wife, and I'm going to get to this in just a moment. There's just something wrong with a man wanting my wife. Amen. Some of you young folks in here, listen, it's just as natural as it comes for you to desire to have a mate. That's natural. What is unnatural is for you to have someone else's mate. Now, you see, you've crossed the line. You've made that desire an unlawful desire. But not only is covetous, is it grouped with envy and jealousy, it's also linked with greed. It's not only wanting something that is someone else's that you shouldn't have, but it's wanting more for the wrong reason. It's greed. I just want to have more so that I can show it off. I just want to have more because more is going to make me happy. Can I tell you that in these 35 years of ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the people that I talk to that are most miserable have more. But it's not more of the right stuff. It's just more. And somehow our marketing world here in America has so marketed to us. Madison Avenue has sold us this bill of goods that in order to be happy, you got to have, and then you fill in the blank. You got to have another fill in the blank. You got to have more fill in the blank. That's the only way you'll be. Well, if I could just get this, then I'll be happy. You don't get happy by having things. You're blessed. You're blessed. When you get God in your life and you accept God's will and you realize that food and raiment, I'm content with that because I am content with what God has given me. And we live in such a covetous society and it's something that just kind of slips in our hearts under the radar. Say, oh, no, wait a minute, preacher, I'm a Christian. Yeah, it gets in your heart too. It gets in my heart too. And so I just want to share some scripture with you, and then I'm going to give you three simple thoughts about this thing of covetousness. And I hope if there's nothing else, you'll understand, number one, understand covetousness. And then number two, you'll have some biblical pictures of the practice of covetousness. And then number three, you'll say, well, what can I do about it? It wouldn't be enough for me just to stand up here and tell you, hey, God said that's wrong. I need to tell you what me and you as believers, and maybe if you're even here today and you're unsaved, what we need to do to expel, to conquer, to get victory over this sin. I was reading about Charles Spurgeon, and many of you know who Charles Spurgeon is. I started to say who he was. He's just as alive today as he ever was. He's just in a different sphere. He's in a different world. He's in heaven. Charles Spurgeon was a man. He was a preacher, and Many call him or refer to him as the Prince of Preachers. And Charles Spurgeon was a studious man. And he said, you know, he said, in all these years of ministering, I have heard people stand and testify of God's saving ability to save them from vice and lust and violence. He said, but I just can't remember anyone standing and saying that God saved them from covetousness. Now, he said that tongue in cheek. See, covetousness is the sin that everyone thinks is someone else's sin. Do you covet? Are you covetous? Most people automatically, oh, not me. You see, that is one of the deceptions of this sin. Can I tell you, covetousness is different than the other nine commandments? The other nine commandments involve deed. Covetousness involves desire. Covetousness actually is at the root of all the other nine. The other nine commandments deal with action. Covetousness is an attitude. And the Bible teaches this clearly and plainly. Covetousness is like a first cousin to pride. You see, when you get enough pride, the wrong kind, you'll always think, well, I'm not a coveter. I'm just ambitious. What's it going to take for you to be satisfied? Content. Don't we live in a world of discontentment? It just seems like everybody's got a drive to have more. They're driven. The last thing I'd want to do this morning is to stamp out someone's passion. But I do want to be very clear that passion in and of itself is not always right. Desire in and of itself is not always right. What is the intent of your passion? What is the goal of your desire? My desire. If we're not careful, we'll fall into a group of society that has become obsessed with more. Our closets are filled. Our storage houses are filled. Our garages should be filled with cars, but it's filled with stuff. And we just have so much stuff. And yet we're online shopping for more. Where does it end? What's the purpose? What's going on? You're sitting there thinking, I don't know, preacher. I don't know what's wrong with them. Covetousness. Let me just share a few scriptures, and then I'm going to give you these three simple points. Luke 12:15, and he said, Jesus said unto them, the Pharisees, take heed, now watch this, and beware of covetousness. Jesus said, hey, you better beware now of this. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the things which he possesseth. No, that's not what he says. Of the abundance of the things. There's nothing wrong with having some things. And so don't leave here and say, well, you know what? We've got to scale back. We've got to go home and sell everything. You know, the preacher's not preaching on covetousness. That's not so. Jesus didn't say that a man's life consisteth not of the things which he possesseth. He said that the man's life consisteth not of the abundance. Got to have more. I don't want just what I think I need to have. I want what you have. Because I want to be equal with you. I want to catch up with you. I don't want you to get one up on me. See, that's the mind of the covetous. 1 Corinthians 5:11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or railer or drunkard or extortioner with such an one, no, not even to eat. That's Paul writing to the Christians. He said, you stay away from covetous people. That stuff will get on you. Did you notice the foul sin that it was grouped with? Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 5, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Paul, writing to the church, said, hey, beware of that stuff. Keep a check on it. Don't think that other people's just doing it. Do a self-check. Know why you have the passion, the drive. Why are you wanting this? Do you need it? Or do you want to have it because someone else has it? You want to have it just so you can say, I've got it. He said in Colossians 3, verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Writing to the church. Scripture after scripture after scripture I could read to you. I mean, the scriptures are full about this sin of covetousness. I'd like for us to look at this. Number one, I want to try to help explain covetousness. Number two, I want us to examine two biblical examples, an Old Testament example and a New Testament example of covetousness. And then number three, what can we do about it? So I'm just going to be quick because I want to get to that final point and I want to spend a little time there. So if you'll follow quick, I'll preach quick. All right? Keep up. Here we go. Covetousness. Well, turn if you would. I'm going to ask you to turn to some scripture. Turn to Mark chapter 7. Now you got to turn quick. Mark chapter 7. Jesus said that covetousness is from within. It's something that's in you. It's in your nature. So I'm not that way. Yes, in your nature to be that way. You were born with it. Listen to me now. You were born with it. All of you that keep nursery, those of you who have little children, you know what happens. You've carried little Billy or whatever your, or Cindy, whatever your child's name is. You've carried him to a neighbor's house. And their neighbor, can have one toy. You carry a bag full of toys for little Billy. And Billy's sitting over here with a bag full of toys. And all of a sudden, I mean, he's just as content as he could be until he looks up and he sees Bobby with a toy. What does Billy do? Billy just makes his way over there, whether it's crawl, whether it's scooch, whether it's walk. He just kind of toddles over there and he says, I want that. I want what you got. And then Bobby says, no, that's mine. And then Billy says, nah. And then Billy bonks him on the head, right? And then it's on. And some folks never grow out of that. They always want what belongs to someone else. That's covetous. In Mark chapter 7, look if you would in verse number 21, Jesus, in verse number 20 of Mark 7, Jesus warned us about this. Let's look at it. That which cometh out of a man, he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, now look at it, for within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thefts. What's that next word? Covetousness. You see it? Mark 7, verse 22. Covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And these evil things come from within. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. There, it's in your heart. It's in your heart. That old Adamic, that old sinful nature. That's in every one of us. It's in and it's just waiting to come out, you see. And it starts when they're young. My! That's one of the first words. You say, well, my baby's first word was dad, dad. Well, praise God. The next one's either going to be mama or mine. But I guarantee you that one's coming. My! Covetous. I not only want what I have, I want what you have. And Jesus said the reason why is because it's in you. Look at it one more time. He said it doesn't come from without. It comes from within. It's in your heart. So covetous is a heart thing. You got that? It's a heart thing. It's a sin of the heart. It's a hidden thing. Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Everybody tries to hide the sin of covetousness. Man never tell you, I want your wife. You say, well, I think I'm going to try that. Don't try it with me, partner. Amen. I'm a peacekeeper, but I can be a peace breaker if you turn this thing the wrong way. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul said about covetousness. Brethren, it's serious. Covetousness. You know what a cloak is? A cloak is an outer garment that it covers. And notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look in verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 5. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, "For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness." He said, we weren't trying to do things in secrecy. That's what that word means. Look it up. We wasn't trying to do things underhandedly or hidden. So it's not only a sin of the heart, it's a hidden sin. It's hidden. Man denies it. I don't have that problem. Well, you may. It's in your heart. It may find its way out. It's something that everyone thinks, well, it's them, it's them, it's them, it's not me. And yet Paul said, he said, listen, he said, I understand how covetousness works. It's like a cloak. People try to cover it. They try to keep it in secrecy. And they sit and they mull and they brew on things that they want that other people have that they shouldn't have. Or they just sit around and think, how could I be all of that? And how can I build myself up to where I will be honored and I will be looked upon as somebody that I'm really not? The cloak of covetousness. It's a heart problem. It's a hidden problem. And then the third thing, turn if you would to Romans chapter number 1. It's a hideous thing. This sin of covetousness is hideous. And I just want to share some scripture. Romans 1, look at verse number 29. Being filled with all righteousness, fornication, wickedness. Look at this. Covetousness. Maliciousness. Look at the grouping of sins again, brethren, that covetousness is grouped with. If we began to mention drunkards and idolaters and adulterers and fornicators, people would snarl and say that shouldn't be named among the believer. And yet you mention covetousness and people just kind of laugh and say, well, you know, we all have our shortcomings. Hey, God hates the sin of covetousness. Because in essence, what it's saying is God's not enough. That God in himself is not enough. And what God is doing and has done for me, I don't feel it's enough. I want more. I want what I can get instead of what God can give me. I want you to write down Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. The Bible says that it is God that gave you the wealth to have the things that you have. God doesn't mind us having things. And I want to make that very clear. Second, you don't have to turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. You know what the very next word is? Covetous. You know, you say, wow, what a coincidence. That's not a coincidence, brethren. I'm just trying to get the message across that this thing called covetousness is serious. And we sometimes overlook it and we think, well, you know what? I'm sorry that they have that problem, or I wish that they didn't have that problem. I'm going to pray for them. They have that problem. Could be you. Could be me. It's something that can slip in. And I'll tell you how it slips in when we begin to look at the scripture in just a moment. So the Bible says it's a heart thing. It's in your heart. It can spring up at any time. So be careful. What did Jesus say? He said, beware. Beware of covetousness. Be careful now. I'm not fussing at you or preaching down to you. I'm warning you. This is a sin that Satan has slipped in among the believer. And for many people, I think of a man right now, we call him the rich young ruler. And when he came to Jesus, he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. And he listed the four or five commandments, but he didn't mention covetousness. He said, you know, don't steal, don't commit adultery, honor your father and your mother. You know what I'm talking about? Matthew 19, you ought to read it sometime, not while I'm preaching. Matthew 19. And he said, you know, I've done all that since my youth. Now, this is how strong covetousness is. So I want you to listen to me carefully. And Jesus said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go sell all that you have and take up your cross and follow me. Now, what's Jesus doing? He's addressing the covetousness that is in that young man's heart. And the Bible says that he turned away sorrowfully, for he had much possessions. Covetous had just wrapped his tentacles around his heart and was squeezing the life out of him. And it'll do that to you too. It'll do that to me. See, when the devil has you thinking, well, that's not that bad. Now, adultery, that's terrible, and it is. And idolatry, oh, that shouldn't be named among us, and it shouldn't. But now covetousness, I mean, come on, we've all wanted something someone else has. It's sin. God hates it. As a matter of fact, Psalm 10:3 says, God abhors it. Covetousness. So be careful, beware. All right, brethren? This stuff can ruin your life. It'll have you climbing up the wrong ladder. You've heard that analogy. I give it often. You'll be climbing the ladder thinking, man, this is great. I've got this and got this. I have all this stuff. And when you get to the top, you realize your ladder's leaned up against the wrong building. You've been getting what you want in life instead of what God had for you. And I learned a long time ago, I'd much rather have what God has for me instead of what I have for me. My life is never so good as when I'm getting what God wants for me. Amen. I want to keep it that way, don't you? I believe you do. I believe you do. But now, if we're going to keep it that way, we're going to have to beware of covetousness. You see, there's this thing going around in our society today. Well, now make all the money you can. Just do it honestly. Don't you do that. Young people, don't you listen to anybody tell you that. Well, just make all the money you can. Just do it honestly. Well, if you make all the money you can, you're going to be doing something, trying to make money when you should be doing something else. You've got to sleep. Somebody say amen with it. You shouldn't be trying to make money when you should sleep. You shouldn't be trying to make money when you should pray. You shouldn't be trying to make money when you should worship. So that sounds all well and good, but it's not so. You shouldn't be trying to make money when you should spend time with your family. Come on, folks. Say amen with me. That is not so. Don't you believe that lie. It sounds good. It's masking and deception. Well, just make all the money you can. Just make sure you do it honestly. Well, that sounds so nice, but it's so wrong. God has far more for your life than making money. Amen. Now, work, make money. We talked about that. But that's not what life's about. It's not. So covetousness. Turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 7. I'm going to give you an Old Testament and New Testament illustration of covetousness. I could give you much more. I haven't even touched the hem of the garment on this thing. I'm telling you, brethren, it's a serious thing. It gets in your heart, and it'll just spring up, and you'll find yourself getting jealous. Did you know some people cannot even celebrate other people because they're covetous? God is blessing a family, and you should be blessing God for blessing that family. But you're so covetous, you can't even rejoice when others are rejoicing. Now, there's something wrong with somebody that claims to be a Christian. You're in a bad place in your life. I'm not being mean here, but I want you to hear the preacher this morning. Listen to me. If you can't rejoice when God's blessing someone else, there's something broke in you. I'd love to see my brothers and sisters being prospered of God. If the only time you can thank God for blessing someone is when he's blessing you, you've got a problem. And all God's people should say, amen. There's something not right with you. Covetous has its tentacles around your heart, and it's squeezing the peace and the joy. It's squeezing things out of your heart that God intends for you to have there. I love to see God bless you. I do. I love to see God's people being blessed. We were at a home yesterday. And when I walked in that home, it's a home that a family here has just bought. And I got to tell you, my heart was just rejoicing. I said, this is nice. Praise the Lord, amen. Praise God he's blessed this family. Pour it on them, Lord. Amen. Pour it on them. They're going to serve you and put you first. And they're going to to labor for the Lord, and they're going to give God the glory. Pour it on them, Lord. Pour it on them, amen. You say, well, preacher, I don't do that. Now, if it's coming my way, I'll say, keep pouring it, Lord. Well, that's because, you see, covetousness may have its tentacles wrapped around your heart. Don't let that happen. Can you rejoice when other people are seeing it well and maybe you're not seeing it so well? Other people are buying you stuff, maybe stuff you want. And they're getting it, but you're not. Or maybe they're getting attention. See, covetousness, let me just make this clear. I'm going to get to Joshua chapter number 7 in a minute, figuratively and literally. Covetousness is not just about money. It's not just about possessions. Some people covet the talent of others. Someone gets up and plays an instrument or teaches a lesson, or someone gets up and they do something and they have enormous talent, and you can't be happy for them and say, praise God, that's a blessing. Because you say, you know what, I want that. I'm upset I don't have it. Or friends. You know, little kids running around here, you gonna be my best friend? What do you think that is? Huh? I want you to be my best friend. Be everybody's best friend. How about that? Amen. Now, if it's getting hot in here, we can turn the air down. Hey, I want you to hear this. The devil doesn't want you to hear it, but I do want you to hear it. And I know God wants you to hear it. Covetousness will suck the life out of you and me. You know, to cause us being envious and jealous for no reason whatsoever, just because someone else is faring well and we're not maybe faring as well or in that area. You can be covetous of someone's talent, of someone's friendship, of someone's family. Well, I want my family to be like theirs. Well, God made your family the way it is. Enjoy it. And if you want to be better, work on it. Amen. But see, covetousness will squeeze that out of you. Oh, some folks don't wear it well. You can tell. Folks up here ministering to the Lord, and they're back there. What's wrong with you? I'll tell you what's wrong with you. Covetousness. It's got you. It's got you. Don't let it do that. It's of the devil. Rejoice with people. Rejoice with folks. Joshua chapter 7. I'm not going to have time to go into this. I want to close the message. I want you to read this. And I've got to get to the last point. You know what happened with Achan? He coveted. God told him, he said, listen, we're going to go in here and we're going to do this, and the walls of Jericho are going to come down. And he said, now don't you go and take that stuff in there. He said, I've got some stuff. He said, but that's going to be for the house of the Lord. He said, but don't you get it. You know what Achan did? There was sin in the camp. You know what Achan did? Chapter 7, I'm just going to show you the word here. You go home and look at it. In Joshua chapter 7, verse number 21, he said, when I saw among the spoils, see, that's the way it begins, you see, a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels in weight. Then I what? Coveted them. I saw them. And I said, I got to have that. But God said, no, but I got to have it. I've just got to have it. God said, no. And he deceived others because he took it. The Bible says in verse number 21, he said, I took them. And then he said, what? I hid them. See, that is the illustration of covetousness. I saw it. And I broke the law and took it. And then I hid it, which means I was deceiving others. I had them fooled, but God brought it to light, didn't he? I mean, they suffered great defeat in Ai because of this. And you'll suffer great defeat when you do what God says not do. You don't turn there, but the New Testament, we're going to close. And the New Testament in Luke 14, write these down. In Luke chapter number 12, I'm sorry, beginning in verse 14, Jesus said, beware of covetousness. And he told this parable about a man who had barns, and he had all this stuff. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm going to tear these barns down. He never one time said, you know what, I'm just going to have me a, a Thanksgiving service, and we're going to praise God for filling my barns up. See, covetous won't let you do that. Covetous won't let you thank God for what you have. Covetous will always have you thinking about you got to have more. You see what it does? It deceives people. Read it when you get home. Luke 14, I challenge you. I encourage you. I said Luke 14. I keep saying that. It's Luke 12, verse 14. And Jesus said, oh my, he said, thou fool. Why? This man didn't thank God for what he had. He said, I'm going to tear these barns down, and I'm going to build me some bigger ones and better ones. I'm going to fill them up. I want more, but you've got enough to do you, but I want more. Didn't one time thank God for it. Didn't one time think about sharing what God had gave him. Never one time thought about that God wanted to give through him and to him. See, covetous people never think that way. Covetous people says, I've got it, it's mine, and it doesn't belong to anyone else. Listen, that's not, God has given way more through me than he's given to me. And I'm good with that. How about you? How about you? You good with that? Covetous. What can we do, preacher? I want you to write these things down. I'm just going to name them. So we explained covetousness. We examined it. An Old Testament, Joshua, Achan, Joshua 7. New Testament, the Lord Jesus and the Pharisees, the man who filled his barns, and well, he made some mistakes, and I don't have time to go into that. Now let's expel it. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. How am I going to get rid of covetousness? Write this word down, contentment. Learn what it is to be content. You say, now wait a minute. Philippians 4:11, write that verse down. Paul said, I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Contentment's not something you're born with. It's something you learn. Is that what Paul said? I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You have to learn contentment. It just doesn't come. Covetousness does, but contentment doesn't. You want to squash covetousness? Be content. I said I wasn't going to ask you to turn, but you've got to turn to Hebrews 13, and then this will be the final scripture as I give you these words. So there's contentment. And then there's this thought of Hebrews 13:5. I want to show you something here, and this is where it's at, brethren. It really is. I'm just convinced. In Hebrews 13, look if you would in verse number 5 of Hebrews 13. What a statement is made here. What a statement. Hebrews 13, look at verse number 5. Let your conversation, that word means your manner of living, the way you live your life. Let the way you live life be without covetousness. Okay? Don't live your life in covetousness. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Now watch this. And be content with such things as ye have. Contentment, thankfulness. You want to squash covetousness? Be thankful for what you have instead of unthankful for what you don't have. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. Have you bowed your head and your heart this past week, and I believe you have, and said, God, I want to thank you for your blessings on me. God, I don't want to ask you for anything new. I just want to thank you for what you've already given me. See, that's the way you squash out covetousness. Please hear me now. God, I want to thank you for saving me. I want to thank you for my relationship with Jesus. God, thank you. What a friend I have in Jesus. I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit of God, my comforter. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. I want to thank you for your word, Lord. God, I'm thankful for your word. How that it just gives me wisdom and knowledge and direction, and it navigates my life. I just want to praise you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet fellowship and communion you come to me in the wee hours of the night and early hours of the morning and the evening time and evening and morning and noon. God, you're with me, and I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to be content with such things as I have. I have a relationship with the God of heaven. And if I didn't have anything else, I just want to go on record this morning to say, Jesus is enough, amen. Jesus is enough, amen. But thank God I have all of him and so much more. My family. We just take these things. He said, be content with what? Such things as you have. Thank God for your wife. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen. All the men ought to say amen. You ought to be up dancing. I don't dance. Well, this ought to make you dance. Amen. God gave you a good wife. You ought to praise God for her. Amen. And it says not only he findeth a good thing, but he obtaineth favor of the Lord. Those precious children that God gave you. Be content with such things as you have. Your children, they're a heritage of the Lord. Train them up. Amen. Spend time with them. Thank God for them. Tell them every day you love them. Your husband. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 verse 33 that you ladies ought to reverence your husband. Respect him. Honor him. Be thankful. Family. We could go on and on and on. Be content, Hebrews 13, 5, with such things as you have. You want to nip covetousness? Be content. Be thankful. As we stand to our feet, be generous. Just start giving stuff away. Just start giving some stuff away. God's been extra good to you. Your barns are full. Luke 12. Don't tear down to make new barns to store more. Just start giving some things to people. God laid this on my heart. God's been blessing me. I want to be a blessing to you. Rather than listen, that's the way the old timers used to